Oh, little doggies. Can I clear something up before we talk to noted pet expert Steve Dale?
Please do, Wendy.
Bing Crosby did die in October of 77, but they had already recorded the duet in September for the Christmas special.
So they ran the special even though Bing had died.
I remember, this is from 630, I remember feeling so sad watching that performance, knowing that he was dead.
Wow.
Thought it was the weirdest combination, but it worked. See, so I'm not exaggerating.
I guess not.
Although it wasn't like he recorded it from the grave.
No,
like
no.
Natalie Cole and Nat King Cole.
Right.
Which
right.
Natalie Cole just died too.
I know.
I'm going to stop talking.
I'm
not going to mention our next guest's name just for his own safety.
Yeah, I want to make it across the street.
Noted pet expert Steve Dale, everybody, sitting right over there to talk about animals with us. And my guess is, with the weather this cold, that you have to take special care for dogs and cats and turtles, don't you, Steve?
Yes, especially turtles.
Turtles.
Yes. In fact, for turtles, if you bring them outside in this weather, they will die.
They will.
So, yes, pretty simple, right?
Shallow.
There. Yes. Yeah. Did you say?
Shallow.
Yes, I thought so. So keep your turtles indoors. For dogs and cats, here's the concern. You remember that song, Knock Three Times on
Tony Orlando and Dawn.
Uh-huh. On the car hood in the morning. That's how it went?
Not sure it went that way.
That was the knockoff version. Weird Al Yankovic.
Right.
Well, the reason why I say knock on the car hood three times is cats that are outdoor cats, think of that as a warm, cozy electric blanket. And
they slink
under the car hood. You start your engine and you have a mangled cat that probably isn't your cat, but still, you don't want to do that to your engine, and more importantly for me, you don't want to do that to the cat.
My money would have been on you mentioning the cat first.
I know, I'm
shocked you went car engine first, Steve.
You've changed in the new year.
How does the cat get, forgive me for not knowing this, they crawl underneath is that how that happens?
Yes,
oh,
yes,
no.
Yes. So remember that song every time you go to start your engine in the morning. In addition to that, you know, people think, and Bob Collins would ask me this, actually. He said, you got the foo-fooiest dogs wearing those coats and jackets. Of course, that was in a different time.
Right.
But there's a reason for that. So for small dogs, any small dog, if you're cold, they're cold. In addition, for the sighthounds like Whippets and Greyhounds and Salukis.
Whippet good.
Wendy with a Devo reference for you, Steve. I hope you enjoyed that.
I almost missed it. It was so fast.
You did miss it.
Yes. Kind of. So for those dogs, you do want to make sure that they have something on to keep them warm. You can be stylish at the same time if you want. And the biggest thing right now online, in fact, they're out of them, is a company called Muddy Mutts. They make pants for dogs.
Pants for dogs, Steve?
Yes.
Has it come to that?
It has. So
four-legged pants?
Yes.
Oh,
not
God.
Two, but four. But to me, there's a... It's silly, but there's a practical point of view here. It helps keep them warm. So whatever you do to help keep your dog, if you have a small dog, if you have a sighthound, if you have a dog that doesn't have a lot of hair, pit bull type dogs actually get pretty cold, even though they can be bigger dogs. Also, they get frostbite potentially. So they don't make, I don't think, gloves for dog tails.
Right.
That they don't do yet.
Well, do it. You'll be rich.
I know. I should. But I haven't. So they can get frostbite just like you can on your fingers.
With the weather like this, where it's hovering right around zero, what's the longest you want a pet to be outside? What's the absolute longest?
Well, it depends. So if you have a husky or a
Tiki
Samoyed,
is part husky, and he just
loves
Bill,
it. Like
he sits
in this
out,
weather like
he
this?
Sits on a pile of snow, and we call him in, and he won't come in.
Yeah. So for dogs like that, they live for weather like this. Now, if it gets 20 degrees colder, and it can, that's a different story. And then it's too cold for any living thing.
Yeah.
When it's below zero without the wind chill, and with the wind chill, it's like 20, 50 below.
Yeah.
And Chicago's been known, right?
Yeah.
That can happen. However, for weather like this, for a husky, it's like a balmy day.
Seriously, because I have to coax him in with treats because I'm like, Tiki, come on,
well,
and he just looks
still,
at me.
Well, they could still get frostbite, you know, in places, and I wouldn't leave him out too long. But understand that you have to have 12 layers on. Well, this dog already has, and you could take a walk with the dog. So as long as the dog is moving and just not sitting in the wind, that would be bad. But as long as the dog is moving and seemingly having a good time, I bet, again, for those breeds, that's fine. For most dogs, not so fine. And now,
if you're cold, your dog's cold. That's a good way to judge,
right? That's a good barometer.
I didn't even need to say anything else. That's the bottom line.
That sells it?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I talk to you about something extremely unpleasant for just a second?
What did I do?
And I'll warn. Oh, you didn't do anything.
Oh.
This is extremely unpleasant. I'm just going to warn you.
Okay.
About 2 months ago, 3 months ago, they had this video online. You could see it everywhere, called Pizza Rat. And it was about a rat in New York that had a huge piece of pizza. And he's just moving it around and he's enjoying the pizza.
That.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I did.
Now, there's a sequel to it that came out about a month ago called Cannibal Rat.
Sequel.
And here's what it is. And again, this is really.
This is gross.
This is so unpleasant. It's a rat in a subway in New York, and it has the carcass of another rat that it's dragging around, and then it moves it off to the corner, and it starts eating the other rat. Is that something that happens a lot in the rat world? Do they eat each other?
Bill, they can, and this one did. Rats will eat just about anything.
Really?
So, yeah, so there was an alderman who famously in Chicago would say, dog poop is foie gras for rats.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
His line.
Yeah.
Alderman Bert Nateris.
Yeah.
He said a lot of things.
But that's the only one I have a t-shirt of.
I remember once he was.
It was the worst selling t-shirt of the year that year.
Not in his family.
No, they sold well in his family.
He was in the Showcase studio once with me because I wanted to talk to him about this.
Yeah.
And he talked into the mic. I'll back off. But he was talking like this.
Yeah.
No matter what he said, he was like screaming into the microphone.
Sure.
Rats will eat just about anything.
I didn't know they were cannibals.
I didn't know that either.
Well, they get hungry enough. That's not their first food choice, I would suspect. But they will eat just about anything. I mean, literally, they can eat and chew through plastic, but actually ingest it. Cardboard, paper, for sure. They can eat plants and berries. They love berries.
Well, that's healthy.
Yeah.
That's not rat.
We want healthy rats, of course. But they will eat just about anything. But that's
but
why
another
did you ask that?
Another rat, because it's in the animal realm, and I know you're a noted pet expert.
Yes, yes, yes. Pet rats, different story. They're actually very, very good pets.
People keep saying that, and I can't believe that somebody would get a rat for a pet, but I keep hearing good things. That people go, oh, they're very smart. They're very trusty.
Yeah.
They won't steal
right,
your wallet?
No, you can put your credit card down, and the rat won't take the number?
Anytime. I would.
All right. So you endorse them. They're a fine pet for the whole family, a rat.
I think so. There's a book out I want to talk to you about.
All right.
All right. And we have some calls as well.
Sure.
So can we take a break?
Yeah. Let's do that. Steve Dale, a noted pet expert, sitting right over there. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Puppy dogs, little kitty cats, turtles we mentioned.
Sure.
You got to keep them warm in this cold weather. And noted pet expert Steve Dale in the studio with us, 312-981-7200.
That's right.
God, I swear. I can't teach an old dog new tricks, can you?
Yeah, you can.
Well, teach me
Steve
something.
Steve will debate that on you.
Robert,
lot to discuss.
Robert has a question for you, something we were just talking about. Cold weather, dogs going out. What's your problem, Robert?
I don't have a problem. My dog is Akita, which is a Japanese husky. And when we leave her out, she doesn't want to go out either in the rain or in this cold weather. We have to coax her out of the house.
Well, I don't blame the dog.
That's probably normal, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, and it's, I don't hear a lot of that happening with Akitas, but it can happen with any dog, especially very, very small dogs. And at this time of year, you get this a lot. So here's what you do. You coax the dog out. You're doing the exact right thing. Put the dog on a leash. Reward the dog as if the dog was a puppy all over again. I don't care if it's an old dog you're teaching new tricks. It doesn't much matter. Reward the dog as if it's a puppy. Hooray, you've done your business. On leash for a couple reasons. First of all, if you pace back and forth on leash, your dog is more likely to go just because your dog is moving, and that makes you kind of want to go if you happen to be a dog or, for that matter, a person, I believe. I know. It's a problem. That's one thing. The second thing is that way you can reward immediately. The dog is in 50 feet away. It's right there at the other end of the leash. You can say the dog's name, praise the dog. Good potty. Woohoo. Have a party. And
a
give the dog
party.
A very special treat.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And Tiki will not go out when it's raining in the backyard at all. But if Jim takes him for a walk or I take him for a walk, he'll go out in a second.
Really?
He just wants to walk.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yep.
There were some things that you were talking to us about during the break. A video that surfaced on Facebook all over the holiday break, and I couldn't watch it.
Yeah,
I saw what looked like was going to be some bad things happening to dogs.
And it was a bad thing that happened to one dog. It was an aggressive dog that was taken into animal care and control. Now, what a lot of people haven't talked about is, well, sort of the behind-the-scenes facts. This dog was so aggressive that, first of all, the owner gave up the dog because he could not handle the dog, because the dog was so aggressive. So think about it. Imagine Tiki being so aggressive around the family that you'd have to give up the dog. And this dog was so, in fact, aggressive, they had a hard time getting the dog out of the car. The owner said, I'm not even trying it, you know. So the background, the backstory about this dog, I have no clue. You know, I don't know why this dog was that way. It's not normal. But nevertheless, the dog was that way. So they take the dog in, and they need for everybody to be safe. They need for the other employees, the volunteers, other dogs to be safe there. So they use these poles that they use, these sort of choke poles.
Looks like a noose on a pole.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that might not have been the best decision right now, today, in 2015, 2016. We can give dogs shots. And just boom, like that.
They're inhumane. Is that the reason? You know, is that why you're saying that?
Well, we have a better way of doing it today, you know. And
those tranquilizer darts that you shoot through the hollow tubes
I've
of bamboo.
Those.
Well, that would have been even better than this, perhaps. So this was, the protocol was not appropriate. But having said that, everyone said, you know, the dog was choked. Well, I don't know that. I cannot see that from the video, first of all. They did reprimand the employee involved. They trained a whole lot of employees, so this, we hope, doesn't happen again. My excitement, actually, about animal control is that, and what concerns me is that the good news never gets out. And there is a lot of good news that comes from there. One is that adoptions are up. The number of animals saved are up. The number of animals euthanized is down. And most exciting of all, the city of Chicago, and they've got this right. You heard me right. The city of Chicago has got something right. The mayor said that we are not going to do a political hire. We are doing a professional hire. The executive director at Animal Control, having nothing to do with this incident, which is another thing. I know her. She had long planned on retiring, 62 years old or whatever the age was. I think that's what it was for her. And she had, for a very long time, planned on retiring, having nothing to do with this incident. So she's out as executive director. Well before this incident became public, she said, I am retiring. She has retired. And unlike what the city has historically done for animal control and other departments, making it a political hire, they are looking outside, potentially, probably outside the city, for the right person with experience in
you.
Animal control. No,
you
no, I don't
do
want... No. I don't think me.
Bill.
But
me.
Maybe.
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 Possibly.
We would have only... We would have only Gibbons.
Only Gibbons can be pets.
What was your pet Gibbons' name?
Peanut the Gibbon.
Oh, that's right.
I remember that.
Yeah.
How can I forget
You're a weird
that?
Dude. You know that, Bill?
Thanks.
So
I say that lovingly.
I am excited. I am excited that Animal Control is actually doing the appropriate thing by hiring a professional here. There will be changes that are going to be made. Changes have been made. It doesn't make this incident any less tragic. But the reality is, and it's a difficult thing for me to say, and it doesn't make what was done to this dog right, but this dog would have been euthanized because it was so over-the-top aggressive.
Better behave, Bill.
You better behave.
So there's going to be a meeting on January 12th, which is tomorrow night, at 6 o'clock at a place called Chicago Party Animals at 1133 West Fulton. They wanted me to mention it, the folks that are sort of presenting this meeting. They're gathering information about how the public feels about animal control. That's at 6 o'clock tomorrow night at 1133 West Fulton Market, just west of the West Loop.
And you had a book you wanted to talk about?
Oh, yeah. So this is a good thing here. The Chicago Pet Project. So the Puppy Mill Project is all about saying, we don't want puppy mills. Who does, you know? And this is something I am extremely excited about. So what they did is Karen Morgan, she's a local photographer, went around and took pictures of celebrities and me too, and their pets, and included it in the book. And now the book is for sale. It's at ChicagoPetProject.com, and all of the proceeds, and I do mean all the proceeds, help to benefit the Puppy Mill Project. Janet Davies, Walter Jacobson, who's here as a contributor, Rick O'Dell from Smooth Jazz.
Mm-hmm. He's a nice guy.
He is. Paul Lisnick, an old guy.
He's not that old. There's older people than Paul.
No.
He's the oldest person on Earth?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was working in radio with a guy by the name of Marconi, I believe.
Wow.
Roz Varen of WLS-TV, and on and on and on. Lots of celebrities.
And their pets.
Yeah, and what was really interesting, John Fritchie, Cook County Commissioner, mm-hmm. who helped champion a bill to say you cannot sell dogs and cats at pet stores in Cook County, is the place that they took these photos. Some of these places, the locations, are kind of fun and surprising. So for more information, Chicago Pet Project Book.
We only have a minute or two, but Ringling Brothers announced earlier today that no more elephants in Ringling Brothers circuses as of May. They plan on doing this 2 years in the future. They're doing
it's finally
it early.
Happening.
It's a good idea, huh?
I think so. I mean, listen, they do the best they can to care for these elephants. I don't doubt that because mm-hmm. they're the
they're bread and butter.
Yeah, exactly. Having
or
said
peanut
that,
butter in this case.
Right.
Nice. Having said that, she is so fast today.
Fast.
Yeah, I know. I can't keep up. But having said that, is it the right lifestyle, even under the best circumstances you can provide for an elephant?
Right.
Yeah, and they cannot provide it. They just can't. And now I guess they're saying it, and I'm thrilled
about it. We've discussed the documentary, An Apology to Elephants, that Lily Tomlin and her partner Jane Wagner put together two or 3 years ago. If you haven't seen it, I urge everybody to see it because you really do see what goes on behind the scenes, not necessarily at Ringling Brothers, but at various venues where they feature elephants, and it's just heartbreaking the way they treat them.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
It's terrible.
Yeah, so Ringling Brothers is doing the right thing by doing this, and I've always said, or at least said, as when Cirque du Soleil, did I say that right?
Cirque du Soleil.
Came out, what was it, 15 years ago or 12 years ago when they first started, I said, this is what a circus could be and should be.
Just
they,
people.
They don't need, yeah.
Exploit people, not animals.
Right.
Yes, because people can say no. Well, people
well,
can say no.
True.
They
that's
could
a
leave.
Good point.
And the animals have no choice.
You had talked about animal control. I want to give a warning out there. I was out in the yard at 10:30 last week, and I heard the terrible sound, ree, 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 which sounds like a baby bunny getting caught by a cat.
Oh.
So I hear that. It kind of caught my attention. I was taking the garbage out, and then all of a sudden I hear this weird little and I thought it was the weird neighbor who lives kitty corner from us. Well, it wasn't. I look up, and because there was snow on the ground, I saw a coyote standing over a fresh kill. Either it was a rabbit or a cat. And I was kind of rubbing my eyes trying to figure out, now, wait, is that a dog? Is it a coyote? Well, then another coyote came up, and they grabbed the carcass of the animal they just freshly killed and walked to the street and were just kind of walking up and down the street in LaGrange. So I called the police department and said, I just want to tell you that there's a coyote and it killed something in the yard. And then a second coyote came up and they're just walking up and down one of the streets here and there's nothing they can do.
Well, unless they're jaywalking.
Right, then
they
you got
report
a problem.
It. They explained to me that they report the number of sightings, but
what do they do with that once they
they
report?
Don't do anything.
But why?
Well, I think my question is, why don't they call animal control? I guess by the time animal control would come out, they could be somewhere.
Well,
but
that's not even the issue to me. The issue to me is why. I mean, the coyotes are doing what coyotes do. And by
oh,
the way,
why do something?
Yeah, they help control the rat population.
Because they're in the yard. And then, God love this police officer. He said, do you have pets of your own, a cat or dog? And I said, yeah, I have a big dog. And he goes, well, don't leave him out in the yard. I said,
right.
Thank you, but I kind of figured that
or
out.
Or a roadrunner, because yeah, they hate roadrunners.
Our neighbors have two little tiny dogs who we haven't seen in the past 10 days or so.
Uh-oh.
And we have in the past 10 days or so twice seen a coyote ambling through our yard.
Wow.
So they don't know what happened to their dogs?
Well, I haven't talked to them about it. We just look out the window at them.
Oh, you don't speak to these neighbors?
No, we do. I just said, you know, it's winter, so I haven't had a chance. But we just noticed that the dogs haven't been out.
Well, what Wendy just said is gospel. If you live anywhere near where coyotes might be, just keep your dog at the end of a leash. And if you see a coyote, if you make a lot of noise, the coyote will run the other way.
They do seem skittish.
Sure.
Well, sure.
A little bit.
The coyote's alive, and it survived basically by staying away from people. So, yes, if a coyote is very hungry, it'll raid a trash can. If a coyote is very hungry, a small dog can be an easy meal. Cats aren't as easy if there's a tree around because coyotes don't climb trees. However, they can catch cats. Keep the cats indoors. And in this weather, please anyway keep your cat indoors. And if you have a small dog or a mid-sized dog even, or two, and you live anywhere near, You know coyotes have been sighted.
But in an area where there aren't even woods. But that's what I'm saying. They're just coming into all the neighborhoods. Oh, so well, be careful.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. In fact, it was about, 2 years ago? on a Friday night at around 2 in the morning, it was everywhere over social media. All these people are like falling out of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And there's bar after bar right near Wrigley Field, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're falling out of the bar and they're taking pictures of one another. And there's coyotes in the background.
Oh, no.
That's
a couple
so
of coyotes
bizarre.
Just walking down.
Oh, that's crazy.
And you see the scoreboard, you know, when the scoreboard was up at Wrigley Field outside, you know, yeah.
Coyotes 3, Cubs 0.
Yes.
That's how it is. That's noted pet expert Steve Dale. Ask for him by name. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate
Thank you, guys.
It. Back
you.
After this with the news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.